Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is a time of year, whether you may celebrate it or not in your home, that's fine, but it is a time of year when many people are concerned about gifts. They're concerned about maybe just the right gifts. Maybe they're a little bit too concerned about it, quite frankly, but they're concerned about getting just the right gift. I'm not sure that we won't take a poll tonight, we won't take a survey tonight, but if you can think of in your life, maybe it was a birthday, maybe it was just somebody doing something nice for you, doesn't have to be at a time of year when there's giving of gifts like that, but a gift that you would say would have been indescribable, beyond description, something that you could not put to words. It doesn't mean that it was highly valuable necessarily. It could have been, I mean, monetary wise, but possibly it was just something that really spoke to your heart. And it might be something that you got when you were a child, and maybe you're even thinking about that right now. What kind of gift would it have to be called indescribable? I mean, a gift that has emotional feelings, a gift that has monetary value, yes, but it's something that you would treasure because of memories even, as opposed to how much money was spent on it. I was doing some research, and there was many years ago now, but there was an extraordinary gift that someone was given, and it was an automobile. Now, I've never been given an automobile, and I don't need to be given an automobile, but somebody was given an automobile, and it was it sounds more like a cat to me, a Jaguar 220. I don't even know what that is. And apparently, at that time, they were over $500,000. We might say, you know, that's an indescribable gift. That's an insurmountable gift. Honestly, I don't need that. You don't need that. I'm just saying that we might say this is an indescribable gift. There were many items mentioned on this list. One item was a $300,000 toilet seat. I'm not sure why anybody would need that. $10,000 yo-yo. How many of you like to use yo-yos? Yeah. Can you imagine paying $10,000 for a yo-yo? How about $12,000 for a mousetrap? Wow, that thing better not only get the mouse, but it might need to take it out back for me too. But the $12,000, can you believe that? Wow. A $28,000 pacifier. $27,000 sunglasses. I have no idea why people would be spending this kind of money on this. But we would say these are a little bit crazy, if you will, and they're definitely indescribable. Nothing that any of us would be buying or should we be buying. But it's amazing when you come to the end of the year, when you come, yes, to maybe a time of year like this, many people do begin to reflect. Many people do begin to think about their childhood or think about a time in their life that there is a memory that is there. And again, it doesn't have to be a monetary memory, but some of them may be not so good even. You know, it seems like even this time of year, as we even found with the missionary in Uganda that we talked about, I mean, that's a challenging thing to have happen, but especially we might say toward the end of the year, a very difficult time. But as we think about this time of year, we could also take the time to remember something greater than a monetary or a material gift, but something that has far greater value than that. As we see in God's word tonight, verse number 6 of our text, the Bible says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is what? Given. So number one, we have here the greatest gift. God gave the world heaven's best. There was nothing better in heaven. Not a piece of gold from the street of gold, not that that could happen. Not a little pearl or a big pearl from the gate of pearl. Nothing greater could be taken from heaven and given to earth other than what Isaiah prophesied about in this sixth verse of Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 11, if you want to turn over, it might be on the same page, happens to be on mine. It says in verse number 1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch," notice it's a capital B, "a branch shall grow out of his roots." We know this was referring as well to the Lord Jesus Christ. For all eternity past, Jesus enjoyed the sweet fellowship with his Father in heaven. These words spake Jesus in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 1. "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth." Then Jesus said, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." This was the greatest gift that God could have ever given to mankind. It was not something that was temporal. The greatest gift that God gave to mankind is something that is eternal. Would you turn with me into, you're in Isaiah, turn back to chapter 59, just a few pages, Isaiah 59. There's something that prevents man from having an intimate relationship with, as we talked about this morning, a holy God. There is something in your life and there is something in my life that keeps me from having a close walk or a close relationship with God. It is impossible to have it in and of ourselves. Isaiah 59 and verse number 1, God's word reads, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Notice verse 2. We have a conjunction here. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God." So there is a separation between me and God, and the separation is not God's problem and it's not God's fault. The separation is my iniquities. The separation is my choice to sin, as we looked at even this morning from James chapter number 1. "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you." Remember, he is holy. God, the Bible said this morning, we looked at it, he doesn't even want to look on sin. And so that really prevents me at this in and of myself, it prevents me from having that close fellowship with God that he will not hear. It says that he will not hear. Something had to take place so that I and so that you could be reconciled with the holy God, with the holy God. Something had to be done so that I could have this relationship with him, so that someday when I pass from this life, I could be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Something had to change. And I was not going to change myself. That's impossible. You can go and you can try to change yourself until, as they say, the cows come home, but the cows won't come home because there's no way you or I can change ourselves. It's impossible. No matter how many self-help books there are written, there isn't going to be one that is accurate, because the only way I can be helped is through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that relationship happens, then my life can change. And it will change. It will change from the inside and it'll make its way to the outside. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." See, that he might bring me, a sinner, to God. You see, I can't go to God without Jesus. I can't even enter into his presence without entering in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time we enter in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as his children, guess what we will have? Access to a holy God. Someone had to take me and bring me to God. And that's the greatest gift, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. God, yes, is holy, but we learned as well, and we'll learn again tonight, that God in his love gave Jesus Christ for a sinful world, that eternal salvation could be found in him, that we could no longer be headed for a Christless eternity. The Bible makes it clear. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't get to the Father through the Baptist church. You can't get to the Father through the, we're using an Alliance church building. You can't get to the Father through the Catholic church. You can't get to the Father. You name the church. You cannot get to the Father through a church. You can only get to the Father through the Son. This is not my words. This is God's words. And so if somebody disagrees with that, then they disagree with God. And that's not going to end well. I wouldn't want to disagree with God. God is right. God is just 100% of the time. Me, not so much. That's why I yield to God's word. And when we have God's word, we have all we could ever need or want to be victorious in life. Praise God for that. Romans 5:8. Many of you know it, but why don't we turn to it? Romans 5:8. Judgment is what I deserve, but because of God's mercy, I can be forgiven. I don't deserve heaven, but by God's grace, I can have heaven someday. By the way, this isn't just for me. This is for you tonight. This is for all of us. We have so many people in our world that need Jesus. You know, they don't need, there's a lot of needs. Yes, some of them are material. Some people need material things and they're very destitute. And I get that. We do need to help people in that way. And we would like to do a greater way of helping people in that way. But we cannot overlook the greatest need, and the greatest need is an eternal need. Because when someone passes away, it won't matter how much they had of this world's goods, but what will matter is, were they right with God? I love what it says there in Romans 5 and verse 8. Many of you have memorized it. It's a great verse to commit to memory. It's a great verse to share with others. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So remember, we at the beginning, we looked at Isaiah 9:6, and we said that the greatest gift that God could give from heaven was his own son. And that's what he did. Number two, Jesus gave himself, though, as well. Number two, Jesus gave himself for the whole world. You may know the verse, but I'm going to turn to it. John 3. Gifts. We're thinking of gifts. God gave the greatest gift, and God gave his son. But also, Jesus gave himself. He willingly gave himself. John chapter 3. And let's read verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him, Jesus, should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you notice something in both of those verses. We have something that is judgment, and we have something that is of not being judged. We have eternal life. So we have perishing, and then we have eternal life. And really, we have two sides to this setup, if you will, tonight. And basically, that shows us tonight, even in that way, that really everyone that walked in the door back there, or that door over there, lots of doors to get into this place, we fit one of two categories. There's not three. You either came in this building with eternal life, or you came in this building perishing. There's no other third option. And the only way you can have eternal life is not by being good. It's not by being a Baptist, like I said earlier. It's not by getting baptized, sprinkled, confirmed, whatever you want to call it. None of that is in the Bible that tells me that I have eternal life. Eternal life only comes through the Son, the Lord Jesus. And when we come through the Son, then we have eternal life. And we have it, like it says, eternally. It isn't on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off. No, it's on. Once we get saved, it's on. And we're in the hand of the Father for all eternity. But also says that there's another group, and that is the group that is perishing. And I pray that if you're in that group tonight, by faith, you would choose and you would say, I don't want to be in the group that's perishing. I want to go into the group that has eternal life. And the way you do that is Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is the way to have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. This is a great thought right here. But that the world through him, who do you think him is? Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. It's right there. Jesus said it to Nicodemus, that the world through him, Jesus, he's saying, through me might be saved. This is why we must get the message of Jesus to the world. This is why we must get it first to our families. If you have children in your home, let me encourage you to continually talk about the Lord Jesus in your home and talk about how God loves us and how Jesus Christ died for us and all of what the gospel means. We talk about it in our homes. We talk about it where we are in work. We talk about it in our school. We talk about it everywhere we go. If God's people, myself included, would do a better job talking about Jesus, we might have some things happening in this world for God. God's people talking about God's Son. Don't you think that's the way it ought to be? I think that's the way it ought to be. We're the ambassadors. We're the messengers. No angels are coming down from heaven anytime soon to deliver the message. God doesn't work that way anymore. You know how God works today? Through the church. This is God's instrument right here. This is Jesus died for this right here. Remember, it's not about a building. We could be anywhere tonight and I could say Jesus died for this, because this is the ecclesia. This is the called out assembly. And we have a great responsibility and we have great opportunities. We have technology. We have everything at our fingertips to use for the great blessing of getting the gospel out. And time is of the essence. We must use our vapor while we have it. We must not use it to build a kingdom on this earth, but we must use it to glorify God and his kingdom in heaven. Isn't it amazing? He's called you, as the Gospel Farsi class learned today, to be fishers of men. God's called us to be fishers of men. God's called us to go out into this world and tell people about the Lord. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth, if you're still there in John 3, he that believeth on him, who's him? Still Jesus. He that believeth on him is not what? Condemned. Okay, so then I think we can probably figure out the opposite of that, but it says it for us. But he that believeth not is condemned already. So then we could say tonight, we have two groups of people in this room. We have the not condemned and we have the condemned. Which side are you on? By the way, you don't want to be on the condemned side. This is not a pleasant thing. But it's your choice. No one can make it for you. God doesn't make it for you. You make it for yourself. Because he hath not believed. The reason why he's condemned, it says in verse 18, pardon me, the lighting is a little different than what I'm used to, and these eyes are still trying to figure this out. Because he hath not believed, I know none of you have problems with your eyes anymore, right? Everybody's got 20/20 vision and everything, okay. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Because he hath not believed. Wow, that's the simple solution, isn't it? Belief. Belief in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus gave himself for the whole world. John 3, those verses are precious and familiar to us, but it's good to read them once again. Would you turn to Mark chapter 10? Gift. an undescribable gift, an unbelievable gift. And by the way, the gift of salvation is unbelievable. Because if you truly recognize and grasp sinners, that's me, I do not deserve to be saved. I deserve to be condemned. And until I came to Jesus, I was condemned already. But it's almost like switching sides. As soon as I look to Christ and I see that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for me, was buried for me, rose again for me, sits on the right hand of the throne of God for me, intercedes for me, is someday coming back for all of his children, then when I recognize that that is for me and I turn to Christ for salvation, I immediately go from condemnation to no condemnation. Read Romans 8:1. It's a beautiful verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Wow, what a blessing it is to be in Christ Jesus. Look at Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, notice, and to give his life a ransom for many. Wow, the ransom was pretty high for me. The ransom was pretty high for you. You know how high it was? It cost Christ his shed blood. But he willingly, that's what we're saying, he willingly gave himself for you. And by the way, no man, I always like to emphasize this, no man took Jesus' life from him. The Bible says here that he gave his life a ransom for many. He willingly gave up the ghost. If you notice the verbiage there in the different gospel records of Jesus Christ's death, it says he gave up the ghost. It means he willingly surrendered to the calling of God, which was for him to die. He laid it down for us. In fact, in John's gospel, we won't turn there, in John 10, 15 to 18, Jesus said this, as the Father knoweth me, in verse 15, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. Why did Jesus do this? Matthew 1, 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. We read this afternoon, for he shall save his people from their sins. So the gift, number one, we said, was that the greatest gift that God could send us from heaven was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, number two, gave himself to the whole world. And number three, we should tell others of this great gift. Turn to Mark 16. Mark 16. The gift should not be saved and kept and hidden. The gift should be proclaimed. It's kind of neat to be back on this property again where we had church for 3 years and we proclaimed the gospel message here. I'm really thankful that the church here that owns this building allowed us to rent on such short notice. But the gift of Christ doesn't need to be proclaimed only from a church property. In fact, if that's the only place where the gift of Christ, the gift of God is proclaimed, then we're not doing what God has called us to do. He's called us to go, like the sign used to say, maybe you read it before, you are now entering the mission field. And literally, we could have that sign over every door of every building that we've ever lived in and served in, because when you go out of the building, that is the mission field. Somewhat in here sometimes too, but more so out there. So the gift has been given that it might be proclaimed and shared. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said this to his disciples before he went back to heaven. And the disciples were to then teach it to the church, which they did. But think about this, fast forward ahead 2,000 years, and here we are tonight. The disciples taught it to the early first century church and the first century to the second, and we won't go through all of the centuries because that's a lot of them, okay? But here we are, 2025, and we have this book right here, which is a more sure word of prophecy, it says of itself. And this book right here tells you and tells me tonight, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And Jesus said, this isn't just for the disciples who were looking at him. This is for you and me who are looking at his word. This is God's word. Do you believe that? This is God's word. This is not the word of man. This is not the word of the pastor. This is the word of God. And we've been proclaiming this word for almost 25 years. And God helping us, we want to continue to proclaim it. But it should not only be proclaimed amongst us. It should be proclaimed out there. I shared this verse yesterday in the meeting. Go down to verse 20. God really helped me with this verse yesterday morning. Verse 20 of the same chapter. So he just gave them the orders from headquarters. He just gave them the charge. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Amen. I like that right there. You know, everywhere they went, Seaside, preached it. Olive Garden, preached it. I'm not talking about Olive Garden at the restaurant. I'm talking about the Olive Garden, you know, the Olive Grove, I guess it would be. The Vineyard preached it. I just realized. Anyway, everywhere they went, preach, preach, preach. But notice, this is the best part. And preached everywhere. Notice, I underline this, the Lord working with them. You know what? We can go out there and we can preach and we can share the gospel and we can do that and do this. But you know what we really need? We need that next statement. We need the Lord working with us. And by the way, he is working with us. Matthew 28, if you read the gospel record there, at the end of the message there, Matthew, under the inspiration of the power of the Holy Spirit of God, said, the Lord will go with you even unto the end of the world. Amen. The world hadn't ended yet. That means the Lord's with us. And when Jesus comes back, we'll be in the presence of the Lord for all eternity. I won't need to be indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. You won't need to be indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. Those days of like that will be over. But it says right here that they went everywhere preaching the gospel and the Lord working with them. I'm so thankful tonight God is still working with us. I'm so thankful God is working with us as we go with the gospel message. And there is no greater answer than the message, the answer of Jesus. There is no greater answer than the message of God is still saving people that will turn to him. People need the Lord. Society is hopeless, but God is the God of all hope. Amen. Don't stop preaching. Preaching, by the way, is just proclaiming. You don't need a mic. I don't need a mic. And we don't have, I'm not saying go out there and, you know, and maybe if God wants you to be on the street corner preaching, go for it. That's fine. But I'm saying we come across so many people every day of the week and we have the opportunity to speak the truth in some way to them. God help you and God help me to do it more faithfully, knowing and claiming that verse right there. Lord, you are with me. In fact, Lord, I need you to go with me because in and of myself, I am intimidated by everybody. And I need holy boldness, not brashness, but boldness. And I need holy compassion. You know, when Jesus looked at the people, he said, they don't have any shepherd. The Bible said he had compassion on them. I think probably that's probably what I need more of. Maybe you do too. I have a schedule, I have a life, I have things to do, I've got to be here, I've got to be there, you've got to be here, you've got to be there. And we don't have time to be compassionate. I hope that's not the case, but I think sometimes it is. But we must make time for the Lord. The answer of this world's need is not found in a higher paying job. I'm not saying that if you got one, I wouldn't pat you on the back and say, great. Rejoice with them that rejoice. We talked about that. But that is not the answer. The answer to this world's need is not more things, more possessions, more friends, popularity, acceptance. The answer is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This is the answer. It is not a 12-step program, a 10-step program, a 45-step program. It is a one-step program, one step to Jesus. When you step to Jesus, you turn to him, he begins to take the inside and make all things new. It's amazing what God can do if we will surrender to him. By the way, God started the process by sending Jesus Christ because God loves you. We had some people at SkyTrain stations yesterday handing out the gospel message. Sometimes when you're at SkyTrain stations, and I'm being as respectful as I possibly can, but you see people that are just not all there. And they're making very bad choices. Many times they're taking substances that are ruining their life. And a lot of times we might look at that and we might judge them, or we might look down on them. Folks, by the grace of God, there go you and there go I. They need the love of God. They need compassion. We need to pray for them. Maybe that's not the time to give the gospel to them. Maybe they wouldn't be of the right mind to listen. But God loves, I'm saying God loves people at Maine and Hastings. Man, you drive down through there and it's just very heartbreaking. God loves people in tent cities. It's not just Maine and Hastings anymore. There's numerous places like that. Don't avoid that. Don't avoid that. If you have opportunity, let's be careful, be safe. I'm not saying that, but let's not avoid that just because of what it may look like. There's somebody's son in there. There's somebody's daughter in there that are brokenhearted over the choices that their children made. Could be my son, could be your daughter. Before we just say, they deserve that. Be very careful if you have that attitude. Because I don't think that's the attitude of the Lord Jesus. He was found with some pretty colorful people in his ministry. Okay? I'm talking about skin color. And he was judged for it and looked down on it. But he said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I didn't come to call the righteous. That's what he was saying. It's in the Greek. Just look. You'll find it. He said, I came to call sinners. Remember what he said to the woman caught in adultery? Where are all your accusers? They were as guilty as her. Go ahead, toss the rock if you haven't sinned. Go ahead if you haven't done anything wrong. Let he that is without sin cast the first stone. I remember hearing that verse in my home as a child growing up, you know, siblings, you know, going at it and, you know, telling on one another and, you know, he did it. I mean, you know, let he that is without sin cast the first stone. I don't know if it was taken out of context or not, but it was definitely given to me. It was definitely given to me as a child. I'm just thinking about it right now. Hopefully my parents don't see this, but anyway. No, keep it in there. We don't want to edit it out. Thank you. But you know, we have to be very careful. Because he did come to call sinners like me. Are we going to start saying that bitterness is different than their sin? Like bitterness, maybe if I have bitterness, that for some reason that's not as bad as drug use or whatever? I mean, I know we can start splitting hairs and talking about how it all affects and all that, but I think sometimes we just compare ourselves among ourselves, and I think the Bible says something about that. It says it's not wise. So let's go with the Bible. See, Jesus initiated, God initiated this gift. When we accept this gift, he gives us eternal life. This is the one gift that truly never stops giving. I trust tonight that if you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would, even tonight before you leave, speak to someone about it. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. Well, the only way to get there is through the Son. And Jesus Christ is saving people. Thankful, within the last week, we heard of people getting saved. Praise the Lord for that. The gospel message is still powerful. In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. When we have that invitation, you need to come and pray. You can come and pray. Maybe you're saved tonight and God has laid someone on your heart that you know is not saved. Maybe you need to come and pray for them. Maybe God has challenged you to have more compassion and to be preaching the gospel message. You don't have to be a pastor, but you can take a gospel tract. You can take those first responder gift packets and you can find people to give them to. You can be a part of spreading the gift. Here's something to consider right before we finish the preaching. Don't let the gift of salvation stop with you. Pass it on. It's not supposed to stop with me. I'm supposed to tell, I can't give them salvation, but I can tell them about it. Don't let it stop with you. Be someone who takes that gift and says, I'm going to tell somebody else about the goodness of God.